This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government, Republicans and Democrats, were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show right now. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on, as usual, here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And, of course, our sister website, newcaliforniastate.com. And ncs51.org. I know that's just kind of a big task for you. It's so early in the morning, but now that you're sheltering in place and you're protected against the ravages of the coronavirus, that you should just sort of sit back and pour yourself some coffee and enjoy the show. We've got 3 full hours here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, though, a21r.com, for all the news and information. Also, remember, Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster of talk radio in the United States today. It's 36 continuous hours of live talk radio on two different channels. So we encourage you, of course, certainly to tune into the app for Red State Talk Radio and get yourself on board. Okay, so the whole coronavirus thing is getting bigger, badder, I guess, all the way around. We've talked about the viruses and virology quite a bit here over the last couple of weeks, and it looks like we're going to continue to talk more and more and more about the ravages of the coronavirus. It is, again, they say, starting to spread more rapidly here in the United States. Oddly enough, in China, where it's all started, they have no new reported cases in the two major cities of really where the virus was first noticed and where the ravages of the virus fell. They do have travelers that have been coming in that into the population, but no new cases have been reported at the hospitals. Now, that's really a big deal because does it mean that the virus is dead right now, or is it going to come back in some other way? Are we going to see patients exhibiting a secondary and tertiary symptoms of the virus? That's a big question. But of course, this does happen. They say this is the type of virus that does do that. There's going to be a second and third bump and that sort of thing. I think that's yet to be seen. Certainly here in the United States, I really think that Donald Trump, by shutting down the borders, and remember everybody was screaming about this, that how wrong he was to do this, but he shut down the borders between China and, of course, Europe. That has really, in my opinion, and I'm a biologist, so I'm pretty familiar with these things, that was one of the most critical things he could have done at the very beginning of this. It slowed down the rate. And clearly, our numbers here in the United States are really well below in terms of the averages of what you're finding in China. And I think that's a direct result of what the president has done to secure the borders. Shocking, securing the borders. Now, we know that he's also secured the borders at the south, which is another big shocker. Well, anyway, we are so blessed today because with us, we have the better half of the Scott Adams radio show with us, Leonora Kravota. She's going to be with us for this hour. And she is, of course, very, very knowledgeable in just about everything that Scott is and isn't. So we welcome her to the show. And Leonora, it's been a while since you've been on my show, but don't be a stranger. You guys are doing radio just before my show.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled to be here, Paul.
It's awesome to have you here. And so tell us about what's going on in the East Coast. Because I'm on the West Coast, and we're doing a whole different set of things. Well, I don't know if it's too dissimilar, but a lot of different things are happening here on the West Coast to try and control the outbreak of the coronavirus. But what's going on the East Coast that's so special today?
Well, basically, on the East Coast, over the last few days, it's accelerated. We heard that New York State, Connecticut, and New Jersey were virtually on lockdown. And if you look at footage of Times Square, where ordinarily that's a place where you go into Times Square, you can barely move. That's the place where you're warned, watch your wallet. And to see it so desolate is incredible. I don't remember that at any time in my lifetime, even post 9/11. There were always still people lingering around. And now in Washington, D.C., Virginia, and Maryland, where we broadcast from, we broadcast out of the Virginia area right outside of D.C., Washington, D.C., as of Monday night, they shut down the restaurants other than for delivery and takeout. And the same thing was done in Maryland. Virginia has not yet been required to do that, but some of the businesses are doing it. But it is still possible to go out and get a drink in Virginia. But gyms are closing. There's warnings being issued. It's become and many, many people are working from home. So that's become the new normal.
Well, it's kind of interesting out here in rural California where I'm at, and they've shut down the Bay Area, they're shutting down Orange County. They did that yesterday. All essential businesses are closed, any non-essential business is closed. And the freeways have really lightened up. I mean, midday in the on a Wednesday, you're driving down the 57 freeway, and there's like no traffic. Although I did hear reports that a lot of people did actually come out, and it kind of jammed up a lot of the freeways, but still diminished it a lot. So we're just now starting to kind of get on board with this whole lockdown business. And like I said, the Bay Area have all their counties that have been under this new shelter-in-place rule, which has been imposed now on us for the first time in a rural county here. We just got that little edict that's supposed to happen today. And shelter-in-place and don't do anything that's unessential, that sort of thing, is the order of the day. How are people reacting to this? Are they accepting it that this is just part of the safety thing? It's a once-in-a-lifetime issue with the United States, and Donald Trump is doing the right thing. How are the people on the East Coast accepting it?
I think everybody's having mixed reactions, and depending on what your job is, like I have a couple of family members who work for the State Department, and they actually are teleworking part of the time, but then they also have to go in because of specific responsibilities they have related to the coronavirus, in fact. But for other people, I think, people are reacting to it by working from home, because they have to. I think cabin fever is probably widespread. People are beginning to try to find the levity in some of it, because now if this is going to be the way it's going to be for at least the next few weeks, they are, you're going to have to just deal with it and find a way to make things a little easier. But we are finding, and I think we talked about it on the show, when we've tried to order food through, these delivery services, it's like you have to wait 5 days for something to come. And then you see on the news all these empty shelves. So that I think that type of scenario is creating a little bit of panic. I think what we are going to start seeing more of is more at home family activity. People are probably going to be gathering with their families more, having, you know, home meals together, because you're not going to want to go out as much. You're going to be, particularly if you're not allowed to go out, you're probably going to be more entertainment watching communally, like watching more movies together. Fortunately, we're in an environment where we have a lot of these resources in our homes. So I think you're going to start seeing some of that. But I do see businesses, and I also have some other responsibilities outside of the show. I do see businesses trying to figure out a way to manage the new dynamic. As Scott has mentioned before, I manage a lot of events, and I actually had an event that I was moderating a panel for happening in April. Ironically, it's about healthcare. We've now had to move that to October. And we've also, you know, other big galas and other things that I'm involved with organizing. All of that's going to happen in the fall. So what I see happening right now more collectively is that major events, anything where more than about 10 people are there, forget it. It's all going to be put off. And so what's going to happen is we're going to have a quiet rest of the winter. We're going to ease into spring. It's going to be the same way. And I think in the summer, we're going to find our ground again. Mm-hmm. And I think people are going to start feeling more comfortable about the situation. Hopefully it's going to be a distant memory. And then when the fall comes, people are going to be, you know, ready to play. They're going to be ready to attend events. They're going to be ready to go out and vote again.
Which will be interesting. Leonora, hang on a second. We've got a break coming up. We'll come back. More of Leonora Kubota from the Scott Adams Show here on Agenda 21 Radio. We'll be right back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. Your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio with Leonore Cravotta of the Scott Adams Show. Probably recognize her wonderful voice, and she certainly has a face for television. Scott, on the other hand, has, like me, a face for radio. That's just a little bit of a thing I just want to throw out there. But Leonore, again, getting into the cultural demands going on right now on the East Coast, everybody seems to be holding up good-natured. You talked about a little bit of cabin fever going on. What's the political tenor like in terms of voting and that sort of thing? You mentioned that just before the break here. What's going on, do you think, with the electorate right now?
Well, I think right now people are starting to talk about the election more practically because I don't know if you heard this, but Axios inadvertently released an article in which they said that Bernie had suspended his campaign.
Right.
And they put a retraction, you know, and just saying, OK, he, you know, stopped his Facebook ads, which, again, as we know, is usually an indicator that you're suspending your campaign. But then they walked it back, as I was just saying. But I think it's become obvious with the variance in the delegates between Bernie and Biden that Biden is going to become the nominee. But I think people now are suddenly the energy that was going on behind the election. People are so focused on what's happening with the coronavirus, it has literally taken over everything, that people are going to just, I don't think there's going to be as much of a need for as much showmanship. So I think, you know, so there probably will be some pressure on Bernie to step down soon so that we can just say, OK, it is a Trump Biden race. Let's just get on with it and tailor the media and all the other efforts towards it. Now, I did read an interesting article in a publication that Scott cites a lot, the Gateway Pundit, where they talked about how coronavirus is, you know, potentially increasing, you know, some type of voter fraud because there's more of a push because of the coronavirus to have mail in ballots,
right,
and have a, you know, or, you know, all other forms of early voting. And so, you know, you could see that there would be an impact there. So, you know, in Florida, like I think it was only like 500,000 people only went to the votes in the entire went to the polls in the entire state. Again, because of those pressures. So I think there's going to be a lot of that going on. It's going to be very interesting to think how this is going to look in July when we have the Democrat convention in Milwaukee, and how it's going to also look when we have the Republican convention in Charlotte, which we have plans to attend,
right,
you know, assuming things continue, as you know, things return to a sense of normalcy and people are traveling and we are having actual physical conventions and things don't evolve into something virtual. So that's what I see. I see a move towards what needs to be done versus all the excess show. I equate it to like Hollywood when you've had a crisis. Suddenly we don't need to have a big to do with the Oscars if, you know,
right,
we're in a,
this goes away,
morning or something.
Yeah. You know, well, that's one of the things that we have out here, just enormous voter fraud. I know that since this last election, there's been several lawsuits that have now been filed by Election Integrity, and Linda Payne and Ruth Weiss have been doing a fantastic job trying to keep everything straight here in California. But, you know, this voter harvesting, which is what is legal out here in California, and, of course, this absentee balloting, which is, again, a California phenomenon, is now spread to other states, is just ripe, especially now with this coronavirus situation, is just ripe for corruption. I guess the question is, has anybody considered the corruption value in this on the East Coast yet? No one's really considered it yet on the West Coast, but it's something that needs to be absolutely looked at. And again, I'm not a big supporter of absentee ballots like this on the wholesale, because there's just too much area for fraud.
Yeah, I think Judicial Watch, which was the source for Gateway Pundit, is looking at it. And I think there are other investigative sources that are researching this. And you know, as this situation, as I say, we're now that we're under the corona sun, you know, as this time period continues, there's going to be a greater focus on other issues other than just, you know, the spread of the disease, the treatment of the disease. People are going to be talking about other topics. They are going to want to get back into the game of the election because it is a diversion. And so I think talks about how we're going to vote, practical ways of voting, you know, preparation for the rest of the primaries. What other primaries might be delayed? How are they going to handle the way that you monitor the polling locations? What if parts of cities are on lockdown? You know, are there going to be ways in which they can vote virtually that are still secure and that they don't promote voter fraud? So I think, Paul, to your point, that is increasingly going to become a topic.
Well, and again, you know, if our elected officials can get a grip on this and come up with some sort of strategy to curtail it. I know every state is different in terms of how they do their election laws. In California, I think we've seen an impact of these lawsuits that have been, by the way, Judicial Watch joined Election Integrity on the lawsuits out here. I think that if you take a look at how these lawsuits are being fashioned, there may be some hope, a ray of hope, that the corruption level will be somewhat mitigated. I know it was really mitigated here in California. Actually, California, for the first time, I think, had a fairly clean election. I'm really out on the limb on that one. But you could see the results that actually people voted down a couple of taxes. Hello, a couple of bond issues, which would have led to massive amounts of taxes and a bailout of sorts for the state of California, which is, you know, and a lot of people know already, that California is completely broke. They have no money. And, of course, it's going to get worse for them as the days and the years go, or the months go by. But the amount of corruption, I think, was a little bit stalled. And I think the ballot harvesting was not seen at the levels we thought we were going to see, which meant that a lot of the people that are Republicans running against Democrats in our top two primary system actually got through as Republicans, and now they're facing Democrats. So we're getting back to more of a Republican form of government where we have Republicans facing Democrats in the general election. Now, if it, my estimation, and we sat down and did the numbers, there's 53 seats available for the House of Representatives out of California. Right now, there's only 7 occupied by Republicans. This is what the top two primary system has done to Republicans. It's destroyed the Republican Party. But when we looked at it, it was pretty plain that we could pick up as many as 22 seats and as few as 16, which is just going to be an enormous gain in the House of Representatives, and clearly give the House to the Republicans. And, of course, that'd probably make Donald Trump very happy to have someone else besides Nancy Pelosi to talk to.
Yeah, although I understand that Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo have been somewhat kind to him lately. You know, I guess the coronavirus creates strange bedfellows.
It certainly does. And you see, the thing is that Gavin Newsom knows he needs money, and he has to be really sweet to Donald Trump because he has no money right now. He talks about a $21 billion surplus. There's no $21 billion surplus. Like I tell people all the time, I said, if you want $1 million, or you want to add $1 million to your checkbook, just go and add 6 more zeros behind your last balance. And you've got, you know, multiple millions of dollars if you'd like.
Yeah.
You know, that's just that's the way they do California accounting out here at the state. So there is no reserve. So they are absolutely, and I know Cuomo is pretty desperate for cash too. But again, the same thing is going on in New York as it's going on in California, where there's lack of representation, and also in Illinois. So you see these top-heavy states, if you will, that are in real serious trouble. It's interesting to me that when you take a look at the states that have the most coronavirus involvement, it's the socialist democratic states.
Yeah. No, that's interesting, because I think what happens is they have the most coronavirus involvement. I mean, a certain amount of this is the size of the states. I mean, you know, when you talk about California and you talk about New York, but other, you know, but it's also their mental philosophy, that they're ready, they're looking for, let's create the rules, let's create the regulations, you know, whereas it's more of a conservative philosophy. to not suddenly impose all these regulations.
Right.
And, you know, and again, the restaurants are the perfect analogy. When you see the more liberal-owned the properties tend to rush to say, okay, let's close, whereas the more conservative entities, they hold out. And until they're told that they got to shut down, because
right.
there's just a different way of thinking. There's a way of thinking that I don't need to be bailed out. I'm on my own. You know, I want to work through, you know, stand on my own 2 feet and take care of myself. It's just the way that, you know, liberals get up in the morning and the way Republicans get up in the morning. They think yeah. completely differently.
Well, we see a lot of liberals getting up. We see too many liberals out here in California who get up really early in the morning to devise all kinds of ingenious ways to enslave us. We've gotten so, you know, ingenious about this, like with California's 11-month legislature. There's so many overrules and regulations. And if you can legislate for 11 months out of each year, you're bound to create a lot of new laws and bill and taxes and regulations that go along with those laws. And, of course, California right now is so burdened by that, it's going to tip over. I mean, that's really what's happening here in California. So at some point in time, Gavin Newsom and the rest of the Democrats are going to run out of other people's money, which is very, very soon. And then you're going to see a big problem going on in California. Of course, that's the new California state movement where we step in. We know this is going to happen. It's eventuality. I think New York's probably in the same boat. That's one of the reasons why Cuomo is sucking up to Donald Trump so much, because he knows there's federal money there with the coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the state of emergency situation is creating that feeling of vulnerability where they do need to use your words, suck up to Donald Trump. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. But, you know, the one thing I will say is the president has endeavored to have a level of calm in which he's communicated about this. And I love the fact that he said the other day, just because I'm calm, it doesn't mean I'm not taking it seriously. You know?
Yeah.
You need to be calm to deal with the crisis.
Well, yeah. I want someone who's calm. You've been around people that are not calm, that are dealing with crisis, and it's chaos. It makes it worse. And, I don't understand the criticism of the president in moments like that. I want to talk about, though, one of the things, and I know that you and Scott have talked about that, and that is the numbers that we're seeing of the coronavirus. I was listening to your show the other day, and you're talking about, do you know somebody who's had it? Well, by all realities for me, back in January, it was pretty clear I had something. And when I went to call the doctor, they said, just stay home. And,
yeah.
Of course, that was, in my opinion, a coronavirus. I was sick for 3 weeks. You probably remember that. I was really sick.
Yeah.
And, I had nowhere to turn, basically. But, you know, of course, there were no test kits.
Right.
You know, what the heck is a, you know, what's the coronavirus back in January? But I'll tell you, that was it was kind of scary. I mean, you know, for 3 weeks being just sicker than sick. But the reality is that how many people really are sick, and how big is the problem? And, you know, like I talk to people, you talk to people. I don't know that many people who've been in touch with it, have had it, or
right.
what.
Well, exactly. I just heard yesterday, in a conversation with a family member, that a family friend used to be a nurse, she thought she had it. But again, she wasn't actually diagnosed. She just thought she had it. But it could have been something else, and she's all better now. But I think there's a lot of those scenarios that are going to be going on right now where people are going to be saying, well, maybe I had the coronavirus, but, you know. But they weren't diagnosed. They weren't tested. They weren't diagnosed. So that's also feeding to this frenzy. Now, I attended the Conservative Political Action Conference back in late February, and I
right.
got that email from the American Conservative Union saying that somebody who had attended the event had it. And I remember when I received the email, we were traveling, we were going meeting people for dinner, and I saw the email, and I had this moment where I said, "Okay, what does this mean?" And then, you know, we quickly learned that the person who had it, who was a friend of Ted Cruz, a doctor from New Jersey, which was the tip off because he had been tested in New Jersey, or he was in a hospital in New Jersey following the event. He had attended an event that was on Wednesday night. I wasn't there on Wednesday night. He was never in the ballroom. He was never anywhere where I would have been. But you suddenly see how this panic starts, this sort of game of telephone where everybody, you know, starts telling a story, and then the story changes a little bit. And by the time you get to the end of the line, it's a completely different story. And I think that's what we see happening with this virus. And, you know, I've been mentioning this to Scott on the air a lot. When we took a look at the statistics about the coronavirus, the shows like Fox News are using there's a Center for Disease Control. I'm forgetting the formal name of it.
With there's the CDC and the Johns Hopkins.
You're right. But if you look at the stats for Johns Hopkins versus the CDC versus the World Health Organization, they're all different. Now, the CDC may be different because they're only accounting for testing that's happening at the CDC or cases that have been reported to the CDC, and that some of the other places such as the Johns Hopkins is getting the data directly from the states. But still, you wake up and you see 220,000 worldwide cases. I mean, every day waking up to what's the new normal, it creates a little bit of a, sure, you know, of a depression around people. So we got to be focused on the positive. We got to be focused on the recovery number, which is increasing. I looked at it earlier today. I think the recovery number globally is up to about 80,000. So that's what people should be saying when you get up. They should be saying 80,000 people have recovered from the coronavirus. Not that we've gotten a few more cases and a few more people have died. We should be focused on the fact that what we're doing is working, apparently.
Well, I think that, like I said before, that one of the first things, which was a practical matter that the president did, was he called for the no planes coming in from China and no planes coming in from Europe. And you take a look at the map today, and you can see that that's had a real impact on, especially the Hopkins map, I think, is pretty representative. It shows all the red blotches. Now, if you go back and research where those red blotches are, the circles in around the country, they're all around international airports, I might add. But that's just, you know, just a small little fact. But the bottom line is that he shut that down, and that's what I think has slowed it down, at least here in the United States, because the numbers are not that big in the United States.
No, and, they're not. Quite frankly,
there's 7 billion people in the world, and there's 200,000 cases. Yeah. Now, there's a big disparity there. And, in fact, when you take a look at the map, and we've had some I've been talking to some virologists and microbiologists, and they've been very adamant. They're very concerned about the numbers and about whether they're real or not. One of them reported to me and was very adamant because they were from India, and they said that, you know, in India they haven't had any deaths yet, whereas in China they've had, you know, thousands of deaths. But the bottom line, in India they've got 1.35 billion people. In China they've got 1.3 billion. And they haven't had any deaths at all in India. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sitting there going, well, what's wrong with... And, of course, India reports these kind of things, yet it's not... There's nobody dead there. Yeah. There's no fatalities. So the numbers are a little different.
A population that big and nothing has happened. So you kind of wonder about some of the data. And Deborah Birx, I guess she's a medical ambassador, the one who's been on television a lot during the... things. She has talked a lot about why these numbers sound the way that they do, and she's talked about the backlog of some of the testing, and that, and part of the reason why the numbers are going to go up is because some of the test results were delayed because they had to take them to the centers, and now suddenly those results are all coming in. It isn't that there were new cases, it's just that we now have the new test results. And so we got to be moving out of this panic mode. We got to be focused more on solutions, and I think the president is doing that with his financial solutions and by these frequent press briefings, keeping people informed about what is going on several times a day so that people know, you know, that that as they say, this too will pass.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that, of course, has been eliminated are, of course, the rallies, which are just drumming up, just brutalizing the Democrats whenever he had a rally. And now, of course, they've been suspended indefinitely. We know that we were planning to have one out here for New California in April, and that doesn't look like that's going to materialize, and I don't see that happening. But the bottom line to it is that now he's a television man. He's a media man. He gets this whole thing about being out in front of the public.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yesterday I was watching, and I didn't see the whole thing in action, but it was kind of funny because I was watching, and then I went away, did a bunch of stuff, and I came back about a half an hour. He's still on TV, and I realized that, you know, I think he was on maybe 3 hours total yesterday.
Yeah.
Nationally.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, when you think about the presidents that have been great communicators, like Ronald Reagan, who was an actor. Donald Trump, who had this entertainment background with The Apprentice, Scott and I talked about this. We said, "This is. Can you imagine what his press conferences are going to be like?
Oh,
it's going to be than entertainment. But I do think that what we might see until the rallies are put back, which I assume will happen in the fall, maybe there will be virtual rallies because, you know, and people where people will be able to participate because, once again, Donald Trump is a master of social media. So there will be a way in which he will find a way to connect people, because that's the one thing that we're being advised to do, because when people are getting cabin fever, it creates a little bit of depression and anxiety. And I think that it's better if people feel more connected. So I'm finding, because I'm working from home in my other responsibilities in addition to the show, and I'm calling people more than I ordinarily would call them, because before I would be seeing them. And so we're having these phone call conversations and extended texting and emails and, you know, WhatsApp and all that other stuff with people, because we want to feel connected. And I think the president is going to sense that, and he's going to do something along those lines. And I'm guessing, you know, the Biden campaign, you know, since he'll be the presumptive nominee, they're going to do something too, because we won't be able to physically gather. People are going to have to virtually gather.
Well, we were talking last night. I was being advised by some of my people, because we don't want to lose the momentum of New California, and we're not going to. We're going to continue on either virtually or actually in person. We actually do have a number of in-person things that we're going to be doing. But we were advised to take up that exact idea you're talking about as a virtual rally with Donald Trump. And so we're pursuing that, actually. Yeah. We're taking a look at that, how that can happen. You know, the people of California need to be rallied. And if Donald Trump really wants to win California, which I think he does, and he really has a good capability of doing that, he's got to have the support of the people. And right now there's so much disarray in California because both political parties have sort of dissolved in California. So there's, you know, it's a really kind of weird place. There's no real strong Republican Party. There's no real strong Democratic Party. It's this one mono-party system. You know, it's almost like unicameralism that we have here in California. We're coming up to a break. Right now we're talking to Leonora Cravotta of the Scott Adams Show, and she's doing an absolutely outstanding job, like she always does on the Scott Adams Show. You can hear the Scott Adams Show just before Agenda 21 Radio, which is starts at 8 o'clock in the morning East Coast time, and, of course, 5 o'clock West Coast time. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Leonora Cravotta. And Leonora stars with Scott Adams on the Scott Adams Show, Red State Talk Radio. And we're really happy to have her with us. She's giving us a perspective on what's been going on in the East Coast with the coronavirus and, of course, with the elections that are coming up with Donald Trump. So far, let's talk about the strategy that Donald Trump is using. At least I'm seeing a strategy that he's sort of all in on doing whatever he can to pour assets at preventing this virus from spreading. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, that's absolutely my perception. I mean, there is the combination of the, there's a relief bill. There's also the coronavirus bill. There's all types of things that are happening where we're offering. There's going to be financial remuneration provided to certain people who are furloughed from work. And one of the things that I was fortunate enough to watch was Donald Trump had a roundtable discussion with the CEOs of various hotel chains.
Right.
And he spoke to them about what their biggest concerns were. And they had two big concerns. Number one was employee retention, and number two was liquidity. And somebody said, well, he had an idea about something. And he said, well, you want me to tell you now? And he said, yeah, tell me now. How would you do that differently? And there's been talks about limiting some of the caps that exist on the Small Business Administration loans. And so there's going to be a lot of tools within his disposal that he can use. And I believe they've talked about a payroll tax holiday for corporations. So there's ways in which we can get more money in the hands of individuals so that they can, you know, they can be at home during this situation without worrying about the bills, and that we can also give some more money to the corporation so that they have some relief that they can continue their payroll despite the fact that they're in scenarios where the sales of their products or their services are somewhat interrupted because of, you know, the virus and its impact.
Well, you know, I guess when you start taking a look at all the different industries that are being impacted, of course, you've got the cruise line industry, you got the hotelleries, you've got Las Vegas, you've got all these specialized communities actually all throughout the United States, and of course Disneyland and all that. These are all closing down. The whole system seems to be shutting down.
Yeah.
I guess the bigger question is how long can we hold out at this level of non-involvement and non-engagement in terms of our own how we do things in America?
Oh, well, that's exactly it. And I mean, Steve Mnuchin, in the push to get more funding, you know, said that he thought unemployment could possibly reach 20%. And, you know, right now unemployment is between, you know, is on the high end of 3%. And so, you know, he used those words. And during the press briefing yesterday, Donald Trump was asked about that. And the president said, no, we're never going to get to that. That's the worst case scenario. But, you know, from a practical matter, as we see the new jobless claims that came in, like this morning, the announcement with the jobless claims was they were over 280,000 versus a projected, I think it was 220,000. So you're talking about a 50,000 variance in the wrong direction. And that's because people are being furloughed. So something has to happen for those people that are at home. And if they don't work, they don't get paid. And so, the people that are fortunate enough to have a scenario where they can work from home and still receive their paycheck, and they just need to modify how they do things. But the people for whom no money is coming if they don't work, something needs to be done.
Well, that's that is something that I can attest to. We have a number of businesses, mom and pop businesses in this community, because it's very this is a rural area. And they're dying on the vine, literally. And some of them are going to be out of business here actually this week because, there's been such a big scare to keep people away, which has been unnecessary for the last several weeks here in this community and probably even today. I know they're coming up with today they're going to be imposing, the shelter-in-place business and all that stuff and no unnecessary visits. So restaurants and all the businesses are going to be shutting down here like they have been doing in the Bay Area, Orange County, Los Angeles, San Diego, but these people are not going to have a business to go back to, probably in a week they're going to be done. Yeah. And that's a lot of businesses.
That is a lot of businesses. And I know in my experience, the businesses that I interact with, we're continuing to have conversations, virtual conversations and et cetera. And we talk a lot about the safety of workers, the safety of building workers. And contingencies are in place. People are in limited shifts so that they could limit their exposure to, during their traveling to get to work if they absolutely physically need to be somewhere. But, all types of precautions are being taken. But I'm going back to what Scott had said earlier. If this, the hardest part of this ends in 2 weeks, then maybe we'll be looking at a more positive scenario going forward, and then we'll just have to take those other precautions throughout the summer about the larger crowd gatherings. But I think if we just listen to the guidance that's being given to us from our leaders and we just are more take greater precautions, some of this is going to die down, because the more you contain yourself, the less your exposure. I mean, it's fundamentals, but if we all do that, then collectively, it's got to move the needle in the right.
And this is the thing that a lot of people really discount, and I've been trying to tell people, I've been talking about it on the radio all the time, we have really a very clean country. I mean, for the most part, you've traveled out in other countries, and you've seen what that's like. We're a fairly clean country, and a lot of people wash their hands after going to the toilet. 23% in China don't. I mean, that was a huge reason for transmission. Everybody recognized that, but this country is fairly clean, and of course, we know it spreads by air, but, we don't know all the etiology about it. But we do know that one thing is that if you wash your hands, you're going to cut down and reduce the number of incidences of contact with the virus. And, of course, don't put your hands to your face and that sort of thing. But I'm just thinking that our country is better suited to resist this and bounce back quicker and stronger than other countries are by far. And certainly China is way out of it. Listen, Leonardo, we've got to run for time. I want to thank you for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. Got to have you back more often on a regular basis. And, of course, we'll have Scott tomorrow. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah. Listen, thanks a lot, Leonardo, for being with us on Agenda 21 Radio.
Thanks so much, Paul.
There you go. Leonardo Cavona right here on Agenda 21 Radio. We'll be right back. Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Back to Agenda 21 Radio with your host, Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. newcaliforniastate.com. And, of course, ncs51.com. Both of those are available for you and to look at for the New California State. And, of course, Agenda 21 Radio. A lot of things going on. Like, it was nice to have Leonora Cravota with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. She always gives us a special appearance every once in a while. Going to have her on more often. And of course, you can hear her on the Scott Adams Show on Red State Talk Radio. Of course, Scott does his show 1 hour before ours. He's on at 8 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time. We come on at 9. And he and Leonora really cover a lot of territory very quickly in a short period of time for the 1 hour. It's really a dynamic show, so you want to tune into that one. We have a lot of different shows. Tori Says follows us after Agenda 21 Radio, so at 12 Eastern, you can pick up Tori Says. We have just a lot of great talent at Red State Talk Radio, and we're going to continue to drive this thing home. We're going to be at the Republican convention, and you know that's going to be kind of interesting to be there. If in fact we can get together as groups and actually be there walking around and enjoying all the different things going on, that's going to be a part of our little deal, if you will. So you're going to see all the Red State Talk Radio personalities there, and also New California State will have a booth that we're projecting to have there. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. Anyway, the coronavirus, it's real, it's here, it's now, it's happening all around the world, and of course, the numbers don't add up. We're going to have to work through that a little bit, but you know, right now, there's lockdowns everywhere. We're losing our constitutional rights, and in the next hour, we're going to talk about what does the face of communism look like in California. We've been talking about how California is now a communist state. Well, we're going to take you through a little journey to see how communism asserts itself. And straight-up communism asserts itself in the great state of, well, the formerly great state of California, and how it won't assert itself in New California. Just a little tidbit for you, a little tease before the next hour. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. These articles are up there for you to read that we talk about, and, of course, the coronavirus information. If you want to get the latest stats from the Hudson Institute, just go to a21r.com. Go all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see a little tab that says coronavirus. Click on that, and you can pull the whole thing up. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
Send it out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN. American Exceptionalism News Network.